Today we're reading from John 1, 35 through 51. The next day, John again was standing with the two of his disciples, and as he watched Jesus walk by, he exclaimed, "Look, here is the Lamb of God." The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them following, he said to them, "What are you looking for?" They said to him, "Rabbi," which translated means teacher, "where are you staying?" He said to them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he was staying, and they remained with him that day. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon. One of the two heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first found his brother Simon and said to him, "We have found the Messiah," which is translated anointed. He brought Simon to Jesus, who looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John. You are to be called Cephas," which is translated Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to go to Galilee. He found Philip and said to him, "Follow me." Now Philip was from Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him, about whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said to him, "Come and see." When Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, he said of him, "Here is truly an Israelite in whom there is no deceit." Nathanael asked him, "Where did you get to know me?" Jesus answered, "I saw you under the fig tree before Philip called you." Nathanael replied, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things than these." And he said to him, "Very truly I tell you, you will see heaven opened and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." For the word of God in Scripture, for the word of God among us, for the word of God within us. Thanks be to God.
Amen. Thank you, Emily. Good job. Our spiritual director, who is normally also our music leader for this service, Jan, we're really grateful that you're here with us this week. I say that. Oh, there she is. Okay. I was like, unless you're not here now. Okay. Our spiritual director, Aaliyah, who's normally leads music in this service, she was asking me the other day, she was working with, I think with the band, she was having a conversation with you all about whether or not you are over-functioning or under-functioning at a given time. And she said, she was surprised at how many people had said that you're not sure. And I was telling her, as I thought about it more, I was thinking to myself, I'm not sure whether I over-function or under-function. It's a good question to think about. Because often when we're stressed, we tend to respond to stress either by trying to take on everything, right? We just got to do it all ourselves. We got no time to ask for help or to be in conversation. We just sort of like get in, we just got to do it mode, right? Get it done mode. Or we shut down. It's similar to like a fight or flight mode, but fight, flight, or freeze, right? Like we either start doing all the work or we just kind of like shut down because it's too much. And it occurred to me, I don't know which, because I think actually I do both. When I'm in meetings, as we're sitting around I get excited, something needs to happen, or I think something could happen that could make things really great. So I see an opportunity. And let me tell you, I see great opportunities like every other day. I'm like, oh, this is the new thing, right? And then you ask me like 2 weeks from now, and if nobody has taken it up, most of the time I've forgotten about it. But if I say it out loud, other people think I'm working on it. So we're sitting in a meeting, and there's an opportunity, and nobody is stepping up. And so, of course, eventually I'll just say, yeah, okay, I'll do that. Over-functioning. I'm not creating space to say, if we think this is important, who's going to do it? And it's not going to be me. But then I underfunction because then I walk out of a meeting having taken on an additional 10 things. That's in addition to all the things that I already had to do. And then I spend a week just sort of panicking about how I have too much to do and getting very little of it done. Right? Maybe even less done than I would have had I not taken any of the things on from the meeting that I attended, right? I'm sure I'm the only one who does this, but it just goes to show all binaries are false binaries. I underfunction by overfunctioning, or I overfunction and that makes me underfunction. I don't know. But the truth is, we need each other. When things get stressful, we need to turn to one another because that's how we get through hard times. It is antithetical to how we've often been taught, right, to pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, that there are certain things we should just be able to do. And so if you've been around Broadway for any period of time, you probably have heard me preach on this scripture before. I love this. This is one of my favorite lines from Jesus. We grew up in a generation, those of us at my age and around my age, where the church became really good at marketing. Churches were really good at coming up with good language to tell, like to speak to people, to connect with people. But there's a difference between marketing a thing and actually doing something different. Does that make sense? It got to the point where, listen, there are some things that when we hear recommendations, we trust them, right? If I'm talking with another parent and they say, you know what, you should use my babysitter, I tend to believe another parent because they're not going to leave their kids with somebody who's not good. And they're certainly not going to recommend that I leave my kids with somebody that isn't good, right? Unless it's their like 16-year-old daughter that they're like, you should use my 16-year-old daughter because I'm trying to get her to get a job and get out of the house or whatever, right? Like, then you might be a little skeptical. But most of the time, if somebody recommends a babysitter, I trust them. But if I'm watching TV and I see like, this is the greatest car sale ever, ever, ever. And I'm like, yeah. Skeptical, right? We've got to a place where no matter what you say about church, no matter how much I tell you we're trying to do something different, I was a church planner for 8 years. Didn't matter how much I told people we're trying to do something different, they say, yeah, that sounds great. But they wouldn't show up to church because I didn't blame them. They didn't believe that what I said was going to match up with what we were doing. And so this one line is the perfect way to say, I'm not trying to sell you anything. If I think we've got something worth doing, just come and see. The proof is in the pudding. We either are or we're not, right? Cost you nothing to check it out. You don't like it? Then we both learned something, right? Come and see. But as I was preparing this sermon series on connecting, on relationships, on the kind of relationships, building kind of relationships that are transformational for us, for our community, and for our world, I heard this scripture in a new way. It occurs to me that Jesus ends this by saying, "Do you believe because I told you that I saw you under the fig tree?" That's almost like a magic trick, right? You believe because because I told you something and you're like, whoa, how do you know that, right? You're going to see angels of God ascending and descending. You're going to see amazing things. But we know that toward the end of Jesus' earthly ministry, he will tell his disciples, these same people that he's calling right now, he will tell them, you've seen amazing things while you've been with me, but I tell you now, you will do greater things than me. Because Jesus knows that the miracle that Jesus came to show us isn't in Jesus dying on the cross for our eternal self so that we don't go to hell. Jesus is constantly talking about the kingdom of God at hand, on earth, available to us now, here, but not fully recognized, not fully realized, not fully lived into, but available to us now. No, none of his disciples are going to create eternal salvation like Jesus does. Jesus says you're going to do greater things because you're the ones that are going to give people hope for the kingdom of God now on earth. And so it occurs to me that when John's disciples see Jesus and they come, they start following him, and he turns around and he says, what are you looking for? And what are they looking for? Why are they following him? What's that? Trying to find the teacher. Yeah, exactly. Because John has said what? That he's what? John has said this guy is who? The Lamb of God, the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for, right? So that's what they're looking. They're looking for somebody who's going to teach them how to live into the kingdom of God, right? And he's, what are you looking for? They say, are you the one? And he says, come and see. And maybe it's because he's saying, come watch me and see if I'm really who you're talking about. But maybe it's because he's saying, I am when you come and become a part of what I'm doing. Let me explain this a little better. Scripture tells us again and again and again that God is love. What is love in a vacuum? What is love without something to be loved, something to love? Without a, if it's not relational, what is love? It's an idea. It's a thought. It's an abstract concept. You can read all the poetry about love you want. You can read all the philosophy you want. But the only way to truly understand love is to experience it. And I don't mean like you have to find your one true romantic partner, but to be open to the kind of relationships, whether it's your family or your found family or whoever it is, but to be open, vulnerable with somebody in a way that you can experience love from them and risk enough to love them in return, to see their well-being as the same as your well-being, that when you experience that, you know something about it you could never read about, be told about, understand any other way. And so Jesus says, I am, this is my spin on it, right? Jesus says, I am when you come and join me. If you come and join me, then I am exactly what you're looking for. Because the kingdom of God isn't an abstraction. It isn't an idea. It isn't a thought. It's something that we create when we live into love with one another, with our, the strangers in our midst, with our enemies. And this must be catching, because we don't hear about anything miraculous happening, but the very next day he finds Philip and he says the same thing to him, and Philip, he's convinced, he goes and he tells Nathaniel, sorry, we're close, I call him Nathan. He says to Nathaniel, we found him. This is the one we've been looking for. And Nathaniel says, can anything good come out of Nazareth, right? And Philip immediately says, he doesn't try to sell him, right? He doesn't try to convince him. Philip says, come and see. Because he is, if you come and experience it. And if I just tell you about it, then he's not, right? Because if it's just an abstract, if the kingdom of God is just something we talk about an hour a week on Sundays, then we don't get it. If the kingdom of God is something we live into on a regular basis, that we're constantly seeking out in one another and in ourselves and in the community around, even in the people who don't, especially in the people who don't call themselves Christian, in the people who call themselves Christian and yet we don't see Christ in any of the things that they do, That's when we begin to understand what it is Jesus is really inviting us into. So, I've been preaching for 20 minutes. This is me under-functioning by over-functioning. Because the whole point is, I can't explain it to you. This church isn't something that I can tell you about, and you can come and be edified for an hour a week, or maybe 4 hours a week if you're really volunteering a lot or whatever. This is what we make it. And so when we do prayer time, and I invite you to consider coming and signing up to read scripture or to tell your story or to help out with the coffee time. We really need a coffee. We need a hospitality team out of this worship service, that folks who will do coffee specifically with this worship service, so that we can have hospitality that will last all the way through, and maybe even until after this service as people are leaving, have coffee available, right? But there are things that we need to do to make this service us that I haven't even thought of. I'm not going to have a sign-up sheet for it, because you know God's been speaking to you, and I have no idea, right? Things beyond this worship service, volunteer opportunities with Saving Grace and this community fridge coming up, other things I haven't even thought of that I'm not going to offer you because I don't know. God's been telling you. I have no idea. And that's okay, because this isn't my church that you attend. This is your church that I serve. So, who's God calling us to become? Come and see. I'm excited to find out.